Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
This morning we're going to continue our series in 1 and 2 Samuel. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel, please. I'll be reading a verse in chapter 2 and some other verses along the way. Last week was our first message in this new series, and it was about Hannah. And we were reminded that Hannah was a holy person. We were reminded that she had a prayer concern. She was not able to have a child, and that was frowned upon in that day in a great way. And so because she was barren, she continued to pray because she believed God was a God of miracles. She believed that God answered prayers, and she kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. And she ran into a priest named Eli. She was praying and quiet, and at the temple most were audible prayers at the time, going on at the same time. And she was more reserved and meditative and praying and just from her soul. And he found out what was going on, and he blessed her and said, "May God answer your prayer." And God did answer her prayer. She dedicated her baby Samuel, and we're going to be hearing more about Samuel in the days ahead, to the Lord. So when we were studying Eli, we think, okay, he's a priest, like a preacher type. You think, well, man, he must have his stuff together. I mean, he's the preacher. And he's probably got his stuff together at home, I'm sure. Well, we're going to find out today, not so much. He was a good guy. He did a lot of good things. But he had some preacher's kids. I'm sure that probably most of us have heard along the way, oh man, those preacher's kids, they can be some of the worst. And then, of course, the preacher's kids will say, well, that's because we hang out with the deacon's kids. So you probably heard all of that. Well, today we're going to see that it's a pretty strong word in chapter 2, verse 12. It says that Eli's sons were scoundrels. That's not a good thing. In another version, depending on the version of God's word that you have today, it may say worthless. They had no regard for the Lord. And so here we are with Hophni and Phinehas, and now, let me say this in case I don't come back around to it. There's no excuse. You don't get a pass. As a Christian, we don't get a pass, no matter who our parent is or grandparents or brother or sister or whatever, good or bad. When God redeems us and we're born again and we have relationship with Him, then we are responsible to love Him and bear the fruit of the Spirit and fulfill God's call on our life and walk in shining the light by God's grace, regardless of our sin, because we're born again because of the grace of God and His Spirit working within us. I do feel like on this particular subject, there might be some subjects, you know, that I may not have as much experience with or insight in, and that doesn't mean I'm a pro at this, but I do feel like I can speak on this subject a little bit. Let me explain in case you don't know. I was once you're a preacher's kid, you kind of always are, but I was a preacher's kid. When I was born, my dad was pastoring in Hattiesburg, and then we moved to Kosciuszko, Mississippi when I was about 5 years old, and he was the pastor of the county seat town there at the First Baptist Kosciuszko all the way through the age of 15. So I was that guy, good or bad, I was that guy. So I was a preacher's kid. My daddy was a preacher's kid. His dad taught at MC and preached on the weekends. my two children, preacher's kids, and then my grandchildren are minister's kids, because my son-in-law is now in bivocational ministry and my son is an associate pastor in North Alabama. And so I feel like I can sort of kind of talk about this a little bit too, though we're going to get our principles and our truths, obviously, from God's Word. And again, I'm not saying I'm an expert on it, or that I did a great job as a preacher's kid, or that I did a great job parenting my kids. But now this is an opportunity for us to look at what is it about preacher's kids that sometimes cause them to go awry. There are statistics. There is a percentage of them that once they're freed up out of the church, they may never return. And so let's look at some of these reasons. The first thing that I would say that we can see from God's Word is they were neglected by a dad doing good things. Eli reminds us that the most important ministry begins at home. A pastor can do some great things, or minister, somebody in the ministry can do some great things in the church or some good things by God's grace. But if he does not have a healthy marriage and spend some time investing in his children, praying with them, teaching them the things of God, being normal and authentic, then they may not get it, because they see their dad behind the pulpit speaking one way and doing one thing, but at home, he may not be exactly what he's preaching. That can happen from time to time. Now, no one is perfect. God calls people in the ministry that are frail, that are needy, that are depraved, that need Jesus every day and to need to grow in their faith. But it is a calling. He was very important, Eli was, to the economy of God and the kingdom of God. I mean, he's the one that saw Hannah was struggling and cared enough to minister to her and to bless her. May God answer your prayers. He was important, because we're going to see Samuel was a special prophet of God that God used in a mighty way. As a matter of fact, Eli was the one that mentored Samuel to help him be everything that God wanted him to be. That is a good thing. So it's not like Eli was a bad guy, but it was at the expense of his boys. And the way that we can see that, if you read the whole story, you can see that he waited way too long to discipline them. Perhaps he gave them special privileges unlike others in the church, and it spoiled them. Perhaps there were people in the church that were scared to correct Hophni and Phinehas because they're the preacher's kids. I mean, you could go on and on about and conjecture about reasons that they were way out of line, but there was and is a responsibility for those that are elders, bishops, pastors, as well as deacons, leaders in the church, with our family. So let me just take a moment to remind us of that. We're not talking about perfection here, but we're talking about a calling and a direction, and saying, hey, before you are ordained and we bless you and say we want to license you and ordain you as a deacon or a leader or a minister or a pastor, then there needs to be a difference in the person and the family's life. So here's what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Whoever aspires to be an overseer or a pastor desires a noble task. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach. And then he goes on and talks about his responsibility to his wife, the pattern. And then he says in verse 4, he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Verse 8 says, in the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, and he goes through a list. And he talks about, and in the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers. In other words, there's a responsibility for the wife as well. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. There needs to be a pattern and a direction and a walk that's worthy of respect. That they're assured of their salvation. That they're already serving in some capacity. That they're trying to live a life where they bless other people or they care about others. And they're genuine. It's not just a church thing. It's a Jesus thing with them. And it talks about, well, how do we, the wife, and so how does that translate? The wife should shine Jesus when no one is around. This is for a minister's wife. This is for a deacon's wife. That's what it's saying right there. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that as a Christian, we should all do this. Not just when we're around other people, but who are we in the dark? Who are we when nobody else is around? Do we post things that are ungodly? Do we perhaps send messages and either an unspoken word, body language, or a spoken word or a note or something that is totally off base and shows a lack of spiritual maturity and ungodliness? It should be a difference. When I was a student minister, mid to late 20s, I was working towards my doctorate at the time, so I was taking some courses through New Orleans Extension at MC. And one of the classes, I had actually Dr. Futrell, who was pastor at Broadmoor, was teaching the class. So I had him as a professor first. So it was pastoral care ministry. And one of the assignments that Dr. Futrell gave us was to interview a preacher. Find a preacher, interview him, ask him questions. And so at the time, our pastor, Dr. Ken, in August, he would invite these well-known preachers to come in and preach on a Monday night. And one of them was Dr. W.A. Criswell, who was pastor at First Baptist Dallas. And so we were taking W.A. Criswell back to the airport the next morning. I told Dr. Ken about my assignment. I said, man, wouldn't it be something if I could interview him? He said, you ought to. You sit back there in the limo and interview W.A. Criswell while I take him to the airport. I was terrified. But I interviewed him. And this is what I asked him. This is the man who authored books, wrote a study Bible. I mean, if you had SBC Hall of Fame, he'd probably be in there. And so here's one of the questions. I said, how do you juggle the demands of a large church and still have time for your family? He said, this is where I made a mistake. For many years, I put the church before my precious family. The pastor's priority should be God, family, and then the church. So Eli, they were neglected, Hophni and Phinehas, by a dad doing good things. A dad can do good things, and this is not just for preachers, but deacons and others, and you can do good things. But if we neglect, balance is important. If we neglect our children for that period of time with the things of God, and I'm not talking about religion here, I'm talking about a relationship with Christ where they see that it's real, then they're likely not going to pick up on it. The second thing that we can see, they were given special privileges that were undeserved. Hophni and Phinehas became the talk of the town in Shiloh. And it wasn't for good reasons. They brazenly disrespected the Lord, the priesthood, and the people of Israel. They forced themselves upon young women who came to the tabernacle to worship God. They were greedy with the offerings of the Lord. They rejected their father's correction when he finally did correct them. They were unfaithful priests, and it hurt Eli's witness in the area, and it ultimately hurt the kingdom impact. And we see that when we continue to read in 1 Samuel, and I'll read some more of that in a minute in chapter 2. So those were the reasons that, and there's plenty of them there, that occurred and why it was not good for Eli's example, his witness, his ministry, and for others. It was interesting when I was preparing for this past week, there's this podcast called Rainer on Leadership. Tom Rainer used to be president of Lifeway, which used to be the Baptist bookstore, and he's retired now, and he's got several sons that are in ministry, and these guys were doing a podcast, and the title of the podcast, The Providence of God, this past week was, What's Different About Pastors' Kids These Days? I thought they had some interesting things here. There are far fewer young families in ministry, they said. The average age of a pastor is 60. There are far more dual income families in ministry now, so the traditional pastor's wife role is less common. The fishbowl still exists, but the pressure to conform to the conceived standards is less intense. And when it talks about the dual role, in other words, like in my growing up years, my mother, though she had a degree, didn't work outside the home. So she was able at that point and chose to be at home and therefore have more time to do things as a preacher's wife. So that was her role. And they're saying that has changed over the time. The fishbowl still exists. Now, here's what that means, especially if you lived in a pastorium. People pretty much knew when the preacher's daughters went to the square and maybe had an inappropriate dress on in their mind. And in those days, it's nothing compared to today. But I can remember someone called my dad about one of my sisters, evidently, probably just wearing a dress or something they thought was inappropriate. It's the fishbowl. You're watching. I can remember an 8th grade teacher, Miss Evans, would ask me occasionally about who was at your house the other day. I saw such and such car. It's because she lived up the street. She went to our church, and she was curious. I think the right word would be nosy. Now, let me just tell you this, and I'm going to say this. There is far more good than bad that comes out of being a preacher's kid. That's my experience. Good gracious alive. At the same time, he said, there are far more eyeballs on the pastor's kids because of social media. I didn't have to deal with that. Thank Jesus. I'm not sure I could stand up here today if we had that. The social media and the cameras and the videos, woo! Lord have mercy. Bless their heart. Have them deal with all that. And then, given the biblical mandate to pastors concerning the management of their homes, should pastors' kids be held to a higher standard? So, preachers' kids in general, let me just share some suggestions with you because you may know some, you may come across some in the economy of God very sooner than later, you may end up being a preacher and have kids. So let me just throw out some suggestions. One, just some thoughts about it. Some turn out to be a blessing to others. Example, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, and Ann Graham Lotz, his daughter. Some are rebellious. Some follow in their parents' footsteps. Some leave the church ASAP and never return, which is sad. Some are allowed to have special privilege in the church, and it eventually does more harm than good. This can be the parents' fault or the fault of some in the church, because they may let them get by with stuff, and that is not good. Some are given a hard time by their peers due to their parents' position. Let me tell you the opposite. The opposite can be some preacher's kids can understand they can use that to their advantage. If they get taught, they get caught at 15-year-olds as a 15-year-old gambling, and their daddy catches them, and he goes to his son and says, "Hey, I hear you've been gambling." And the son says, "Yes, Dad, I have." And then the son goes to his buddy and says, "Man, I can't gamble anymore." "What?" "Yeah, man, my daddy caught me. And you know he's the preacher." And you know what they do? They give you a pass. You can use it to your advantage. And by the way, parents, a lot of times in working with your children, you can set some boundaries and say, "No, you're not going to do this, and this is why." And that way they can also use that to their advantage to keep them from doing things they shouldn't be doing. It's not necessarily a bad thing at all to have loving discipline as you're also having fun with your children and you're encouraging them. Some have adults that place high expectations on the PKs when they're growing up. "Hey, why don't you pray, Hal? Hey, read the scripture." I didn't like to read out loud. I didn't like to pray as a teenager out loud. And so I learned to not have eye contact and duck. Some witness their dad being hurt by folks and they have wounds. Fortunately, that was not my case. Some face scrutiny due to social media every day. Now, here's what they need. They need unconditional love. They need to be disciplined just like others. They don't need to be coddled. They need to be prayed for. They need to be mentored. And to keep an eye out for bullies just like we do for all other kids because they exist. And sometimes they zero in on PKs. And so, personally, I was blessed to grow up in a home where my folks were real day in and day out. I grew up in Kosciuszko where the church and community helped raise me, and I will forever be grateful for my upbringing. What a blessed man I am. Forever grateful. I can remember, along with some of the stuff that goes along with being a PK, I can remember certain men that invested in my life as a little league coach or just deacons in the church that would encourage me and realize I needed to be disciplined too, just like others. It's a wonderful experience. But when you look at Hophni and Phinehas, you have a better understanding of what occurred. And then thirdly, because of all that, they were responsible for their spiritual heritage ending. This is in chapter 2. Look at this verse 27. Let me read some of these verses. "Now a man of God came to Eli." In other words, the community of Shiloh, they knew that they were a bad reputation, said to him, "This is what the Lord says." And then he goes on to verse 29. "Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves with the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel?" In other words, the sons were taking advantage of the offering. That'd be like PKs having a way to get money out of the church. And he was allowing it. And he was calling him on it. "Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that members of your family would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. Although good will be done in Israel," verse 32 says, "no one in your family line will ever reach old age." Verse 34, "And what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, be assigned to you. They will die on the same day. I will raise up before myself a priest who will be according to what is in my heart and mind." He's speaking of Samuel. "I will firmly establish his priestly house. They will minister before my anointed one always. Then everyone left in his family line will come and bow down before him for a piece of silver and loaf of bread and plead, appoint me to some priestly office so I can have food to eat. Hophni and Phinehas, they were neglected by their father who was doing some good things. We don't need to neglect our children in all matters, and certainly in the relationship with Christ, because they went awry because of it. They were given special privileges that weren't deserved. You don't coddle PKs. That could be part of the reason they neglect the things of God. You treat them like you would any other student in your youth group or church member. You love them, you encourage them, and you discipline them. And because they were treated that way, their spiritual heritage ended and there were consequences. So some here today had the opportunity to extend your spiritual heritage. There's some here sitting, whether your dad's a preacher or not, you lived in a home where they loved the Lord, raised you right, weren't perfect, but you know you have a responsibility and you're grateful and you're doing your best to love Jesus, bear the fruit of the Spirit, and finish strong. God bless you. That's what we should do. That's some of you in the room. Some here today have no spiritual heritage, and you have the opportunity to change that because you're still alive today. Take it in a different direction. Don't be bitter because so-and-so had wonderful parents or mom and you didn't. God says all things work together for good. Let that be used to motivate you to go in a godly direction, to leave a wonderful spiritual heritage for your children or your grandchildren. Some of you have a rich spiritual heritage and you're not honoring God today because somewhere along the way, you started drifting. Maybe Hophni and Phinehas spoke to you today to say, time out. Life is short. I got to get back doing the things of God and get my priorities in line. Abiding in Him and watching what He does in my life. If you're alive, you're breathing, it's not too late. God, help us to be godly parents. God, help us to be spiritually kingdom-minded, influential grandparents or even great-grandparents. God, help us look out for preachers' kids, to love them, to encourage them, to give them grace upon grace, but to not let them slide on things that they don't need to slide on any more than our own kids. God, I pray for that person here that may need to be the one to start a new spiritual heritage with their family. May today be the day, whether they make a decision, public or private, God, may they surrender that to you and just ask you to take over their life so they can start a spiritual heritage. Whether that's a call in ministry or not, Lord, as a Christian, we're ultimately all in ministry. We just have different platforms and different types of calling. And then, God, I pray that if we have some teenagers here today that come across or know some preacher's kids, maybe they're supposed to be their friend. Maybe they're supposed to apply something they heard in the message. Give them strength to do so. God, help us to realize that our witness and our example affects your church, no matter what position we are. We are representing you as members of the body of Christ, and specifically today, East Haven. As we go to school, we go to work, we're around our kids, Help us to take it seriously. And help us to live life, as we learned in Romans this past Thursday, chapter 8, with great freedom in Christ. Not because we're trying to earn our way, but because you've paved the way and you've called us to be salt and light and to shine for you. In Jesus' name, amen.